Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell. Guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, now let's get into the show. Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres. And if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Rob West on the line. He's CFO over at Sub-Zero Ice Cream. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Adam.
Oh, man, Rob. So I'll tell you, in preparing for this show and this episode, I learned a lot about Sub-Zero ice cream, and all day long I've been wanting some ice cream. So we're going to get into the business. We're going to get into, I know we'll talk about the franchise opportunity, what you're doing also around education. I mean, very dedicated and mission-based around education. And so great stuff there. And just to get us started, we'll start with a Mission Matters question. So Rob, we at Mission Matters, we amplify the stories of executives, entrepreneurs, and experts. That's our mission. Rob, what mission matters to you?
Well, the mission for Sub-Zero, quite easily and quite frankly, is all about choice and all about real freshness. Now, when I say real freshness, everybody's talking about freshness. But if you were in a Sub-Zero store, you'd know that it was real fresh. I mean, it is the raw ingredients. And then we take care of it through our patented process, which we'll go into some more detail. And out comes ice cream. So real freshness, and also being able to allow a semblance of control from one's life to be an entrepreneur. And so choice, freshness, entrepreneurship is really our basis for our mission.
Man, this is exciting. So glad to have another mission-based entrepreneur and company on the show. So let's just dive right in. So Rob, how did you get on this journey, I guess you'd say, to ice cream? Like how'd that take place?
Well, it is roundabout way, I guess. But I started out in business. My undergrad was in business. My MBA from Northwestern was in business. And upon graduating, I went from Chicago to Los Angeles and started out with the big four consulting companies, first with PricewaterhouseCoopers and then Deloitte Touche. And beyond that, I worked for some household name companies, Fortune 500 companies, Dole Food Company, and Farmers Insurance Company, and Honda Motor Company, all here in the greater Los Angeles area. So time was marching on, and I have some terrific kids. Now they're all grown and gone, and they have children of their own. And, you know, the age-old question, all right, now it's time for me. So it had been in my mind for a while. In my earlier days, I had been kind of a quasi-entrepreneur in a number of different things. So I got to thinking, what would be my next chapter? Probably my last chapter. And something happened. I was on a vacation to my oldest daughter, her husband and children up in Boise, Idaho. One of the very first Sub-Zero ice cream stores was up there. And so my daughter and son-in-law said, hey, we heard about this new ice cream shop. Let's go over and check it out. So I walked in and I was totally blown away. It was something new, something I'd never seen before. And I've been in now California, the start of everything, for 30 years, and I had never seen this. And Wow. And it was liquid nitrogen ice cream made with a kind of an entertainment bent. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the different menu types, and suddenly I saw an ice cream flavor, Dr. Pepper. And I said, you got to be kidding me. So my first Sub-Zero ice cream was Dr. Pepper with maraschino cherries and marshmallows. My favorite. It was awesome. And so I said, well, California's got everything, so it's got to be in California. So I Googled it, nothing, and found out that the headquarters was in Utah. So I wrote the company for the first time. And fast forward, I bought the rights to Southern California and opened up the first store of liquid nitrogen franchise in Simi Valley, California. And that's kind of how I got started.
Wow, that's amazing. So I'll tell you that that Dr. Pepper ice cream must have been pretty good for you to then go after the company and say, this is what I'm going to do.
And every ice cream or every flavor is amazing. I just, you know, people ask me all the time, what's your favorite ice cream? I have no idea because I have so many favorites.
That's awesome. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are watching this right now. Some of them are maybe newer entrepreneurs that are just getting started. Some of them actually are in your shoes and they're looking at, or where you were, I should say, years ago, where maybe they had this, you know, they had a more traditional career like you. You had, you know, 30 years in finance or so, right? And there's right. other people that are like that. And they're looking at like, what's the next chapter of their life when it comes to whether it's going into a franchise or another entrepreneurial venture or something like that. What kind of advice would you give to someone that just kind of maybe has that itch or that vision or however we want to word it, but they're looking at kind of like what's next? Because the difference between yourself and maybe some others is that you went out and did it. Like, it's not easy to do, that's for sure.
You're right about that. And it does take a certain personality, and we try to find those people in the organization. Somewhat A-types.
Yeah.
Obviously hard workers. Mm-hmm. Obviously people who like to problem solve, because it's all about problem solving in one fashion or another. And also I must say, you know, a person who's naturally happy. Fortunately in our business, ice cream, people come in happy and we want them to leave happier. So that's kind of a nice feeling versus any other kind of restaurant. Ice cream allows that to be so. And so a person who is naturally happy gets a lot of mileage out of that, because they're dealing with customers that are already happy and you want to just leave them with a positive experience as they leave the door. So hard worker, A-type, problem solver, those are kind of some major qualifications for our entrepreneur entrepreneur franchisees. They don't have to have restaurant experience. And that was probably one of the things that made it possible for me to really think about this, because I could get my hands around it. I could get my mind around it. It wasn't fryers and ovens and grills and things like that. Which has a huge amount of SKUs and things to work with. It was just ice cream. And the footprints are smaller. The employee base is usually smaller. And so for someone who doesn't have restaurant experience, this is a possible avenue for them to think about. Worked well for me.
So let's go further into your career now at the company. So you obviously started, you know, with just having this amazing experience with the brand. You're in store and you're like, California has everything. Go find out they didn't have this. So you're like, all right, Southern California, that's my spot. That's where I want to expand. And so now you kind of work your way up in terms of the ranks in the company. So talk a little bit more about that journey. So starting as an owner operator, and then you kind of work your way up.
Yes, I was an owner operator, started out building the store. We didn't have a whole lot of systems and franchise in the box at the time. And that's fine. I knew it going in. My eyes were wide open. So there was a lot of coordination between me and the corporate group to get my store open. We had many things to do. So I was an owner. By virtue of the agreement that I signed, I was an area developer. And so I was responsible for growing this neck of the woods. And then as time went on, it became clear that the company really needed to focus on finance and financial systems and operations. And if there's one thing that is a struggle for a lot of entrepreneurs, is the balance sheet, is the P&L statement, is what the heck is a cash flow statement, and what are the three parts to it? And a lot of those attributes or that knowledge was a little bit lacking in the company as far as being able to support the franchisees. Mm. So over time, I made mention of this, and just recently, it became a good idea for them to bring on a finance person in the form of a CFO in order to give the organization some good credibility to the investor world, to the franchisee world, and to the market in general. And I'm sure it's going to prove big dividends. But that is my career path. I think that what we're attempting to do is get the company in a form and a shape where, let's face it, hopefully we have some opportunities to be part of a larger organization down the road.
Let's get more into the actual franchise opportunity and what it looks like in the business model. So you mentioned some of the attributes that you're looking for when it comes to franchisees, like hardworking, ability to solve problems, no real restaurant experience needed, and obviously that's part of the good thing about working with a franchise is that or a franchisor is that those systems and things are in place for them to learn from. But let's go a little bit more into the business model. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. The business model itself revolves around just really good operations.
Yeah.
And that is a catchphrase for a lot of different things, obviously. But when we talk about business operations and the business model, I think what we try to focus in on Sub-Zero Ice Cream is a really efficient flow through for the product. And I, as a footnote, we're not a scoop shop. Besides the pictures in the background, it's very difficult to understand what Sub-Zero is unless you see it. And, everybody's the same way. I had no clue as to what a liquid nitrogen franchise operation was all about. So one has to see that. But nonetheless, that flow through. So we're not a scoop shop. And so our process is a little bit, has some time consuming, but it's still not too much different than a scoop shop. The other thing is cost control. That's a very important part of this process. So we have to hone in over and over again on our costs and making sure that we match that with pricing on the top line as well as the costs on the bottom line. So to maintain those margins. And obviously, labor costs is very important. That probably between labor and obviously a rent for a small ice cream shop are the two most important costs to or the largest costs that are part of that business model. So labor costs has to be dealt with in a very serious way to understand exactly how much labor has to be on the line. There always has to be at least one person there to keep the lights on. But beyond that, it's a matter of understanding how we can make those products faster and leaner and smoother and more efficient. And thereby you can control your labor costs. So labor costs, rent, we can go into a lot of explanations on that, but I think I'll defer to that. But needless to say, you want to find a very good location with the best rent that you can get. And once you get that, it's pretty much fixed. The rest has to do with mostly overhead costs, and there's a lot of those. I mean, if you think of a P&L line, it's 30 or 40 different lines for various things. Obviously, in California, there's a huge amount of employee-related costs. There's health department fees. There's property tax. I could go on and on about all the different fees and taxes.
Good old California. You're hurting my heart right now. Go ahead, Rob.
And so managing a lot of those line item things are very important. And every dollar matters. And it's amazing how you just going to go through things and you can figure out different ways of saving money. Let's see, going further down the road here with operations and the business model. Let me just say this, and it probably will come up in another part of our discussion. But in the old days, it was customer number one.
Yeah.
Now in the new days, it's really employees number one. And you might have seen recently, and I think it was a headline in today's online news, that in California particularly, but across the nation, there's a real problem getting employees to come back to the office.
Yeah.
And so, you know, managing your employees is going to be a huge factor in this. Are they happy? Mm-hmm. Are they feeling involved? Are they feeling like they've got satisfaction?
Yeah.
And not always just the money. A lot of it has to do with the, you know, the group chat compliments. And I do a lot of that because I know how important it is to get a compliment on your shoulder. And that's often worth a lot more than some cash. So managing your employees, you know, when you think of turnover, even in a small ice cream shop like ours, when somebody quits after 2 or 3 months, it's going to cost me money.
Yeah.
And not like a scoop shop or a fry shop or something like that. It takes our employees, you know, a number of weeks before the light bulb goes on and they get it because there's some complexity in using nitrogen to freeze things. So that over that turnover cost is something that we have to manage. I think that that has some of the basics. I don't want to go on and on because there is a lot of stuff to the business model. But let me just say on a overall business for Sub-Zero, there are three parts to the business model. One is the store. Two is, and we probably will talk about this, I'm sure, in a number of other ways, catering. Sub-Zero is dialed into the opportunity to cater, which is very unusual, very unique, and one of a kind. And number three is we do science education. Because of our unique attachment to liquid nitrogen, we've developed science education to give back to schools, although we get paid for it.
Yeah.
To give back to them as an entertaining science show with a great big grand finale, and then they get ice cream. So it's a one-two punch that they've never seen before, science education and ice cream. So the business model includes the store, brick and mortar, the mobile facet of it, and science education.
Yeah, let's dive into some of those. So let's just start, start with science and education. So what does that look like? Because when I know as we've been trying to get you booked for this interview, you're like, I'm out doing this, out doing that. And then you're telling me about this. I'm like, wait, what do you mean? Like you're out doing demos or like what? How does that work? So I made you stop last time and I'm like, no, tell me when we're recording. Tell me when we're recording, Rob. So how does that dedication to science and education work?
We're very blessed to be able to do this. And I have to give kudos to our founder, Jerry Hancock, who is a chemist. And he noticed early on that because of our connection with liquid nitrogen, obviously it has a lot to do with the elements and the Earth's atmosphere, pressure and temperature and all sorts of things that are in and around the element of nitrogen. And so the light bulb turned on for him and says, you know, I could teach some of this stuff in the education system. And over time, he developed some relationships with some principals and PTA presidents and some teachers. And he was off and running and kind of refined the science education script, if you will, and then passed it on to many of us in the franchise system. And so, in my early years, I was a performer. And so this fast forward another 40 years later, it's a wonderful thing for me personally to kind of be on the stage again, if you will, to do these science shows, presentations, assemblies, however we describe them. And it really does bring the house down. Kids are screaming and hollering, and we're doing sorts of quirky things with liquid nitrogen. And then uniquely at the end, we have a very showy grand finale. And then the kids get to see ice cream being made with liquid nitrogen and taste it. So it's a home run, no matter how you dice it.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I can imagine being, if I was a kid looking in, well, actually you walk into a store and it's awesome as an adult, first off, which we'll talk about that towards the end about how people can, you know, find the store locations and how they can, you know, connect with the brand overall. But it's just an awesome experience overall. So as a kid, I'm like, man, if I got to see that at school, I'd be like, that'd be like the highlight of my year right here. We get to learn, it's science and I get to eat ice cream. Like there's too many wins there for me on that one. So speaking of, I guess, the wins on the adult side of things, so catering, like, let's talk about kind of how that works. So is it for like parties, birthdays, events? Like, give us a feel for how the catering side of things works.
Well, if you can imagine a normal catering event for a wedding or a bar mitzvah or even a corporate event, and I don't put anything, you know, down onto these things, but yeah. Usually they'll have a hamburger truck or a taco truck or they'll have a salad bar, something like that. And that's all fine and good and tastes great. But if you could have a dessert that's entertaining you,
yeah,
that has this kind of this billowing fog of show and has these lights and science elements to it. And then the product is just superior and it's frozen mm-hmm. just right. It's not melty. It's not this or that. And it's all fresh. We find that Sub-Zero ice cream for catering is just an easy sell. And so we can, as we're continuing our marketing, we find ourselves busier and busier and busier. We're growing exponentially with our catering business. Mm-hmm. And it is easy for us to go on the 50th floor downtown law firm to do an employee appreciation event, as it is for us to go into a hotel ballroom to do a wedding, or even a backyard birthday party. All of these things are made possible because of our process and our methodology of having a portable, smaller liquid nitrogen tank that basically has the same pressure as a bicycle tire. So it's very safe and easy. And we have a patented process that makes it easy for us and fast to make batches of ice cream and serve it up. And they get choice again, and they get a show. So it's another home run for, as far as the catering is concerned. And it's really an enjoyable part of the business.
So, I mean, as a company overall, I know you stressed, innovation, or you stressed operations, the backside of things, like really controlling costs. But I also see as just really a really innovative company, obviously, for using the liquid nitrogen in the first place and, alternative to a typical scoop shop, as you mentioned. But like, how do you remain like innovative in this space? Because it's competitive, number one, but it's also like there's, you know, uncertain times around like brick and mortar and different shops and things like that. Like, how are you staying like innovative?
Well, it's a toughie. There's no doubt about it. And I think any restaurant in town is constantly thinking of that as well.
Yeah.
But I would submit that a few things that help us. Mm-hmm. One is we have learned over the last 10 years plus that we don't need as much space as we once thought we did. We thought maybe we needed, you know, a good sized dining area. But we've learned that we really don't need that. And it's part of just the ice cream nature of things. People don't sit for hours on end to enjoy a dinner. It's not a Starbucks environment where you're sitting there with your computer and you know, doing your homework. It's an ice cream place. So they sit and they celebrate, they eat their ice cream and they're gone. So there's a bit of a turnover there and that's all fine and good. But we find that we probably don't need quite the footprint. So that's one thing. And so most of our newer stores are a little bit smaller in the 1,000 square foot range, could be smaller even. The second part of the innovation is the liquid nitrogen. I can't tell you, well, I could tell you some very fascinating stories when we first opened up. We had just within a month or two of our grand opening, we had KTLA do a morning segment on us. And some gentleman had just gotten off an airplane at LAX and saw the thing on the monitor and drove immediately to Sub-Zero ice cream because we were brand new. There was nothing like that in Southern California. We were the first. And so for months on ends, we were, you know, lines out to the parking lot, literally.
Wow.
But people were traveling all the way from San Diego to Lancaster to see this innovative liquid nitrogen ice cream franchise here in beautiful Simi Valley, California. So that was very innovative. When you think of the 31 flavors 30 years ago, that was innovative. When you think of Cold Stones 15, 20 years ago, and you think of Ben and Jerry's and their, you know, all of their chunks and stuff like that, each one of those had a separate forte or a separate innovation that they offered to the market. And now Sub-Zero comes along and we're doing liquid nitrogen ice cream. And there are competitors now across the country. And it's all because of Jerry Hancock and his innovation and starting Sub-Zero ice cream. Let me just go on to a couple of other innovations. One is, well, the other one obviously is the catering end of it. Which if you think about how would, you know, a scoop shop do a catering event, it's going to be tough. They're going to have to put it in a cooler. They're going to have to dump it with some dry ice and, you know, good luck. But at Sub-Zero, right there on the table or in the trailer or in the truck, it's frozen and it's presented to the customer immediately. And so that's an innovation. And I would say as a footnote, the science education is certainly an innovation because it's part of our business model. And it certainly brings attention, marketing dollars to our business. So we're blessed in a lot of different ways to be able to do this kind of business model.
And so how does tech play into this? Like, how does tech overall play into like the functioning of the, whether it's marketing, whether it's otherwise, like how is tech playing a role in the growth of Sub-Zero ice cream?
Well, to be candid with you, I think we could do a better job. We've got systems in place that help us get by, but you know, I think part of my job as the newest member of the team as a CFO, I think I need to be out there looking for more technology systems, platforms, processes that can make us even more efficient. Right now we're working, for example, in a consolidator. We've got kind of entrepreneurs scattered throughout the country. They use several different payroll systems. They use several different accounting systems. And all of those things, we need to figure out how to have some sort of platform sitting on top of that where we can get the data and be able to have a dashboard, crank out some reports and some analytics and some key performance indicators that make it fast and simple for us to understand the nature of the business and where pain points are and where success points are. So to your good question, I think we can do a better job. And that's part of my job is to get that better information and better technology sitting with our company so we can get better analytics and better performance indications from our franchisees.
Oh man, story of my life. KPIs and dashboards. I feel bad for our CFO. We're onboarding now. I'm like, ah, KPIs and dashboards. Yeah, we need them. Go figure it out. So I know exactly where the I know the boat that you're in, and she's gonna be in that boat too. So it's kind of funny for me to think about it. I'm like, but it's tough.
Yeah. In order to make good decisions, you have to have the information. Yeah.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more on that one. So what is Sub-Zero's plans kind of going into the future? So we know where you've gone. We know some of that. We know the model, at least the three, I'd say, pillars of the model. So we have brick and mortar, we have catering, we have the education and science component of it, like in schools or PTA groups or different things like that. So what like what does the future look like? Like, what are some more things that you have on the horizon here?
I'll tell you the answer to that in kind of a story form. About two or three years, well, a little longer than that, three or four or five years ago, I could see the value in the science performance shows that we did and also the catering. And also I was enjoying it. But as I did more and more, and truly it's been word of mouth, I'm kind of embarrassed to say that I didn't do a lot of advertising for it. Because I was just one person doing it. And I thought if I advertise too much, I'm going to be way overwhelmed. But the reputation was really, and every year I was growing at least 20% compounded every year in my catering side. And the store was doing fine, was crawling along. But the catering was growing exponentially. And So we understood that the margins were a little bit better with catering because mm-hmm. you don't have a brick and mortar to feed. You don't have lights to turn on. You don't have to have the only paid staff person is the one that's doing the event.
Yeah.
And if there's nobody in the store, you still have to have a person, an employee there. So obviously catering and these science educations were really growing, and we could see how incredible that was.
Yeah.
So even before COVID, coincidentally, we were making a concerted effort to grow the catering side of our business because of the uniqueness of it. Mm. And then, of course, COVID hit February, March of last year, and the phones completely turned off. All the weddings canceled. All the bar mitzvahs had to cancel. And so it was a rough year. Now that it's coming back and, you know, California is opening up as well as the rest of the country, people are clamoring. You know, it could be a catch up for all I know, but, you know, they're clamoring for these events, these experiences. And we can clearly see that writing on the wall. We saw it before COVID, but it's even accentuated now that we're coming out of it. And I know that, for example, companies are going to want to reward their employees with employee appreciation days. We just did the Simi Valley Hospital not too many weeks ago, all 300 of their employees, and they want to give back to their employees. I think every law office in town, every large conglomeration is going to want to do something for their employees. And I would, if I was that, for all the good work that they've done over the last 18 months. And of course, I think people just have now, with the advent of trailers and food trucks and stuff like that, accentuated with this experience-driven type of event that they want. We see catering as really something that we've got to really hone into. So for the future of the business, to get back to your question, that's where we're at. And so we are designing, as we speak, our first catering trailer. We wanted to start off with catering trailers, and then we'll move into a tricked out food truck, because that's the expense of either one of those.
Yeah,
we already have, you know, a setup that we have. You've probably seen it online with our regular catering pop-up tent and tables and linens and so forth. We have carts, we have vans. We'll get these trailers, we'll have these trucks. And I think with a smaller footprint and those that are interested in doing mobile catering, that's kind of the future of at least Sub-Zero.
Man, that's exciting. And I think what I smell here is just opportunity for franchisees, for people that want to get involved, for people that want to work with a great company and that want to, you know, that want to grow. Like, there's a lot of different channels and different ways to operate. So I think it's awesome. You talked about, you know, California opening up and some of those things. Like, what do you see as kind of the future, or I should say, what are some of the things that, you know, small business, you know, food operators should be considering, especially in California, as they move forward to just to stay relevant and to innovate?
Yes. Now, unfortunately, we're not one of the big boys, so we don't have an unlimited budget. But as you've read in the trades and you've seen the popular articles that are coming out, there's a lot of innovation going on, particularly in the automation field. Now, automation is not only, you know, the robotic burger flipper. we've got to figure out how to do an automated liquid nitrogen scooper robot. I don't know when that's going to happen. And it's probably way out of our budget. But not only that, but you have seen over the last 15 years this advent of automation, where the company has pushed activities backward in the supply chain, if you will. For example, you know, we're talking 15, 20 years ago, but maybe 10 years ago, you've seen all those kiosks now at the airport. You're checking in your own bags. You're putting on that strap yourself. You're doing this and that and the other, because they've pushed those activities back in the chain, supply chain to the consumer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm old enough where when I was a teenager, early teens, and got my driver's license, I'd go up to a gas station and I had to fill it, or they filled it up for me. Remember those days? But nobody does that anymore. I mean, that took a lot of years. But what I'm saying is a lot of those activities, whether it's banking with ATMs or the kiosks at airports, or now the so many of the small little ordering kiosks that you go into McDonald's or the burger places, and you can order right there at a small little iPad. You can order it on your phone before you even walk in. So I guess what I'm saying is those, and there's probably other activities that are going to be pushed even more back to the consumer because they can, and that will save labor. It will save time. And basically those operating costs are pushed onto the customer. So I think those kind of activities, I think a leaner space, at least in terms of ours, we don't need to have that bigger footprint. And I think that that's going to be something that real estate developers are going to have to think about. In times past, it was hard to find a place that was less than 1,500 square feet. And I think they're going to have to rethink that and look at spaces that are 800 square feet or 1,000 square feet. You've heard in the last just a few years about the ghost kitchens. And those things are propping up all over, at least Southern California. And that's another way of trimming those costs and being more efficient. So you got the ghost kitchens, you've got activities that are made. The other thing that is a big thing in California is utility bills. So how can we cut our costs with utilities? Well, at Sub-Zero, we have the benefit that we have all of this nitrogen in a low pressure tank that's all basically fed by gravity. So there's basically no, there is no power necessary for what we call our manufacturing. We don't have all of those freezers as you walk into a scoop shop, line after line of all of those freezers that are pumping out energy like crazy. We have none of that. Zero. So basically, if you walk in a typical Sub-Zero ice cream store, you've got a refrigerator in the back and a freezer in the back and maybe an ice maker. And that's pretty much it. So we're saving money on the carbon footprint, as we call it. And so our utility bills are minimized. So anyway, farming out some of those expenses to the customer, having a smaller footprint, which I think everybody, including real estate developers, are going to have to get used to, and maybe a smaller carbon footprint. And of course, continuing on this technology bandwagon that there are so many things in the back office, so to speak, that one can be more efficient on. I hope that answered your question.
No, that's awesome. And that's a lot to think about for other food operators out there, people in the space, people that want to get in the space and that are looking for opportunities. Like, these are all things that play into long-term success and what it looks like to not just ride like one cycle, but multiple, and to be there for the longevity of the concept and whatever your location is, right? As you build up traffic over time and you become a staple in your community and in your area. I mean, all these things are important factors to really staying relevant is what it
comes down. I thought of one other thing, if I may, Adam. You may have noticed, and I think it's going to be a growing trend. It's been a slow trend, but you've noticed that there are a number of franchise companies that have merged together under the same roof. Have you noticed that? You've got KFC and A&W Root Beer. You got Togo's and Baskin Robbins. And I'm missing a few others. That's another thing too, that Sub-Zero has looked at as far as sharing the building, so to speak, sharing the roof. And you have two different concepts that are kind of complementary, but they're not similar. And so that's another way that I think we're going to see more and more of in the industry is concepts sharing the same footprint to save on rent, to save on advertising, and save on space. I mean, after all, a dining room can be shared for two different people, especially if you've got, especially, you know, take the test. Take this example, for example, if you've got a donut and coffee place that was 7 a.m. to noon, and then you've got ice cream from noon until 10. That's a perfect combination.
Yeah. No, that's big time. And it makes sense. And again, getting back to using the resources properly, sharing the rent, like all these different things. I like it. I like this innovation. I like the thought process behind it, because for me, when I walk into different restaurants and areas too, I like that concept. There's a couple by me that have a couple of mixed concepts like that. And it's just the convenience factor. I like walking into the place. I like, you know, sitting there. I like the transition, so to speak. So I'm a fan of it. I like it. Well, Rob, so I have to say it's been great having you on the show today. I mean, I learned a lot. What you're doing over at Sub-Zero Ice Cream, I think it's awesome. And that being said, if people are watching this right now and they want to learn more, and I mean, there's a lot of different reasons they want to connect the brand, whether or contact the brand, whether they're looking for the retail brick and mortar area, or they're thinking about catering for an event, or obviously the school systems and things like that that are interested in having something that's both fun and educational for their students. I mean, how do people connect with the brand overall?
You know, I'm at the point where, you know, even as a chief financial officer, I welcome phone calls. So if people want to call me directly at 805-587-4262, I always pick up my phone. They can call me directly. The other way of reaching us, obviously, is through our corporate website, which is subzeroicecream.com, subzeroicecream.com. And we've got quite a few bits of information, as well as anyone who's interested in the initial steps of the franchise can contact us that way. Beyond that, try to find the nearest Sub-Zero across the country. It's a fantastic concept. I don't know if you can see some of these pictures up above here. But it's very innovative. It's very entertaining. As we like to say, people come into the store happy and they leave happier. So that's a motto of ours that we like to make sure everybody experiences.
Man, that's awesome. Well, Rob, again, thank you for coming on the show. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you learned a lot. Have many more mission-based entrepreneurs and companies coming on for you next. So make sure you subscribe to the channel. Definitely want you to be a return viewer. And Rob, thanks again for coming on the show. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you, Adam.